Okay. For this second message, which you have the notes, we'll be covering learning from Paul's charge to Timothy on preaching. The previous message, I summarized the effective preacher as the effective communication of the truth God intends for the hearers in that context. That means not just what the hearers want to hear, not just what you think you want to tell them, some interesting story or your life experiences or whatever it may be, but you must be preoccupied with what God wants you to communicate to the people. It's a great privilege to be called by God to be a preacher, but it's also a solemn responsibility whereby we have to give an account to God. And we have to shoulder this responsibility seriously. So today, I want to go on to consider how we can learn and become more effective as a preacher and now preaching, and how much better than to learn from one who is very experienced and a very effective preacher. In fact, if we look at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, it's almost as if God specifically have this passage recorded for us here today. And that is why I will read through this whole passage. Generally, I won't do that because of lack of time. But for this passage, I will read through the whole passage. You go through it carefully, and I will be commenting on it, every part of it. I see this passage is so very relevant to us. This is the Apostle Paul seeking to transmit, to pass on to Timothy. Paul was about to depart from this earth, and he had important things he wanted to communicate to Timothy. And this is one of the areas that Paul was very concerned about, that Timothy effectively fulfill his role as a preacher. And what are some of the things that Timothy needs to pay attention to? So let us prayerfully look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Paul wrote, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." So these are directly the words of Paul to Timothy. We can also learn it from Paul, as if Paul is also writing to us, and also what God has to say to us, but through the Apostle Paul. It is not God directly speaking to us. This is Paul. But God has important things to speak to us through the Apostle Paul. So we'll begin with verse 1, the first words. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God." We know as he goes on, Paul is talking about preaching. Verse 2 is just preach the word. But I now want to go through every part of it. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God," communicates to us that this is a significant responsibility. It's not to be taken lightly, and it is to be discharged with great care, because the consequences, the implications are serious and far-reaching. Why? Because as a preacher, you are speaking on behalf of God. You are trying to tell the people what God requires of them, what God desires of them, the truths that God is communicating to them. And the hearers are meant to take it seriously and to live out their lives accordingly. So if what you preach is not sound, or you're careless about what you're communicating, or you fail to communicate many things that are important to God, that he wants communicated to the people, then the failure is significant. On the other hand, if you're able to effectively communicate what God desires of you to the people, then it can make a lot of difference in their lives. So that is why Paul puts it this way, "I solemnly charge you." But not only that, he says, "in the presence of God," which I will elaborate further. He says, "in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." This tells us That Paul, this is not just something between Paul and Timothy. That preaching is a matter of deep concern to God and the Lord Jesus. That's why Paul says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. Why does Paul bring in God and the Lord Jesus into the picture? Why didn't he stop and just say, Timothy, this is what I want to tell you. This is because there's something important to God, important to the Lord Jesus. And then he says, the Lord Jesus is to judge the living and the dead and by his appearing in his kingdom. Is that preaching has a lot of meaning and significant bearing on the readiness of believers for the final judgment, for Christ's second coming, and how believers fare in God's kingdom. That is how serious it is. The Lord Jesus, he will judge the living and the dead. How are people to give a good account when they appear before the Lord Jesus at the throne of judgment? When we meet him face to face, the preacher will have a significant role to prepare people to be ready. Likewise, we all say we look forward to the coming of Christ. But actually, in the scriptures, not all of us, not all believers can meaningfully look forward to the second coming. The Apostle John tells us there'll be those who will shrink away in shame at his coming when you're not ready. Your life is no good. You shrink away in shame. But the Apostle John says, come, Lord Jesus, because he was ready. So he could look forward. So the preacher has a significant responsibility to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And then he says, and his kingdom. So these are the major things in Paul's heart throughout his preaching. The kingdom of God. How we fare in God's kingdom. How God's kingdom advances. These are the real things during our time on earth. All other things we see around us, the visible, that affects our lives so much, all these will be burnt up. They are temporary. But what will endure is God's kingdom. So the preacher has a significant role to prepare God's children and also his own ministry. How you advance God's kingdom, including preaching the gospel to save the unconverted, as well as, in my understanding, the gospel is actually far more than conversion. It goes on to build up the believers to the full salvation God intends for us, and that is all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to full maturity in Christ, to walk in Christ, and to live out all that God intends for us in Christ. That is the full gospel. And how God's children are going to fare in his kingdom, the preacher will have a significant responsibility. That is how serious our calling is as a preacher of the gospel and a preacher called by God. We'll see as we go along. Being called by God is an important part of what it's all about. Okay, then in the presence of God. In the presence of God communicates to us that Paul's charge to Timothy is not merely between Paul and Timothy, but God is present. God is present as Paul was communicating to Timothy, and also Paul is saying, I'm saying these words with God's approval. So Paul is saying, in the presence of God, I'm saying all these things. God is approving what I say. All this is to emphasize the significance of what Paul is saying. Whatever he wrote to Timothy actually has God's approval. But this is to emphasize it. Whatever he wrote to Timothy, he's always doing it in the consciousness of God's presence and God's guidance on his life. But this is very important. That is, Paul wants to make it very clear. He emphasizes it. That I'm writing all this in the presence of God. And I charge you in the presence of God. So Christ, the judge, and the final judgment. I mentioned just now about the role of the preacher in preparing other believers for the final judgment. But here I want to emphasize that Paul's words here to us also applies to the preacher. Timothy, the preacher, will have to give an account of how he fulfilled his ministry entrusted by the Lord. That's why Paul wrote, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judged the living and the dead. Which includes the preacher. So Paul is telling Timothy, how you fulfill your ministry at the final judgment, this is going to be an important part of your giving account to God. So all those of you, if you are called by God to this ministry, if you are preaching, be careful. take note. It is a great privilege, but it is a solemn responsibility. God will hold us responsible. How have we fulfilled our ministry? But I won't leave you just like that. Later I'll go on to show from the scriptures how God wants us and we can be properly equipped and ready to fulfill this ministry. Not by looking to ourselves and our own capabilities, but God has made provision. And if we are willing, we are cooperative with God, we learn to trust God and walk with Him, we can be assured God will bring it about. It doesn't depend on us, how capable we are. It is God's call, and God will equip His servants. But we must be prepared to pay the price. Even as all believers also have to count the cost of discipleship, as the Lord Jesus preached, count the cost. So there is a cost. So verse 2, Paul went on to say, preach the word. So he's talking about the preacher and preaching the word. What is the word? The word is used in the scriptures with various related senses. The disciples went about preaching the word. What is the word? At the basic meaning of the word used in the scriptures in this way is preaching the message God intends for the people, the word of God. People often refer to the Bible as the word of God. But if you read through the scriptures, you'll find the phrase the word of God actually at the heart of it refers to what God wants to communicate. But the scriptures as a whole, what it teaches is what God wants to communicate that is true. But the scriptures itself is actually never referred to in the scriptures as with the phrase the word of God, but it's often when it's used as the scriptures or what is written when the Lord Jesus countered the temptations of the evil one. But this phrase, the word of God, is very important. If you do a study on this expression and its associated with meanings, it's very rich in meaning. I cannot go on with you now. I've preached several messages on this. But at the core center of the word is the message God wants to communicate to the people is the gospel. As I said, the gospel is the good news which through with the coming of the Lord Jesus, this good news is now available to all mankind, which in times past was not so clear. They didn't quite understand who is the Messiah, what it's all about, because this will take place in the new covenant. Old covenant, they had little understanding. But now with the new covenant, the truth are all revealed. It's now all in the scriptures. But of course, it depends on how much we know. And the preacher, the more you understand the truth that God wants to communicate in the scriptures, the good news of all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more effective you can be as a preacher. That is actually a very important part of your preparation. Do you really know the word, the truth, the good news, the message that God intends for all mankind, including the building up of believers after non-believers have been converted and brought into the kingdom? So preach the word. The word preach there has the sense of proclaim, declare. It is not just someone talking to another person. To preach is authoritative proclamation of the truth. So you must know the truth so that when you proclaim it, it's with authority, with definiteness. Not just maybe. I think, I hope Christ came to this world to save sinners. No, you must know it, believe it, so it can proclaim Christ came to this world. He died for the sins of all mankind. It's a proclamation of the truth. So there are various major areas, many important truths that God has made clear in the scriptures that He wants the preacher to communicate, to proclaim authoritatively. That this is the truth God intends for all mankind, but a lot of the preaching is actually directed at believers, to build up believers so that they can then reach out to the non-believers. Okay, then I elaborated on the meaning of the word. I mentioned just now the word is the gospel, it's God's message to men. It's what God desires to communicate to mankind and believers. That's why the word of God. Old Testament, that's the equivalent. The word of God came to Jeremiah, came to Ezekiel, and so on and so on. It's God's message that came to prophets meant for the people. It's the message that comes from God. So take note. It is what God desires to communicate to mankind and to believers, which means the source, the origin of the message and the truth is God. The preacher is not there to give his own ideas. Yes, you can communicate the message in different ways, but at the heart of it, the thrust of it, your whole intention must be the consuming passion in your heart to communicate what God wants to be communicated. Not your own bright ideas, or the bright ideas of people. Even how capable, how famous, how intellectually able they are. It is what God wants communicated to people. So it's not men's ideas, not men's opinions, not a man suggesting to you this and that, or the speculations of philosophers. That's why you can take note, it's a sad thing, throughout church history, sometimes the gospel message, the truths the preachers preach, it changes with time depending on the thoughts prevailing at that time in history. But the true gospel, the message of the scriptures never change. It's the same message. It's already there in the scriptures. Yes, it's possible. You may modify the way you communicate so that it can be more effectively understood by your hearers. That is all right. In fact, that at times can be important. When you preach to a certain group, you may not preach exactly the same as another group because another group may be able to understand how you present in that way, but this group, if you present in that way, they cannot understand you. So you have to present it in a way they can understand. But the message, the thrust, the meaning, the spiritual reality must be the same. And what is the same? The same that God wants to communicate, to be communicated, that is laid out in the scriptures. Of course, if what you've been preaching is wrong and you keep on preaching the same of what is wrong, is no use. When I say the same, it's the same message in the scriptures. So then, very interestingly, we notice that in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus, His name, He is known as the Word of God. In John, He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh, the Lord Jesus. But in Revelation, it tells us His name is the Word of God. Why is the Lord Jesus known as the Word of God? That is because at the core center of God's message, God's word to man, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He is at the very heart of what God wants to communicate to mankind. All that God wants to communicate to us has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good news. He is God's primary provision to us. It is in Christ that we can attain to God all that God intends for us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the very heart of God's message. And not only that, what God actually wants us to communicate is not only words and phrases. He actually wants us to communicate the person of Christ. This is something I hope you will give it some thought, pray over. Because you need to grow in your own knowledge of God and of Christ so that when you really communicate, you will be communicating the Lord Jesus Christ. You're helping them to appreciate Christ and Christ will be formed in them. It's a living word. Spiritual reality and life must be communicated. The Lord Jesus must grow in them. You're communicating Christ. When you preach the word effectively, you are communicating a person, not just words and phrases. And Christ being at the core center of the message, the Word of God, is why Paul says, I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. If you look at these words, it may sound a bit strange. Paul preached many, many things. His epistles are very rich in meaning. There's so many things he talks about. And as we go on, we'll see Paul says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. That's what he told the elders at Ephesus, the Ephesian elders who came down to him at Miletus. He shared with them, he taught them, he preached them many, many things, and yet he says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But didn't Paul say many other things? He did. But actually, all that he taught, it still has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the implications. So, for example, Paul, when he says, I determine, do nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His preaching is intended to help people to know Christ. Who is Christ? And there's so much about Christ that we know so little about. True preaching must help the hearers to know more deeply who is the person of Christ, to know his teaching, to know what he was accomplished at the cross. And there's a lot there. In my own congregation, I preached many, many messages on the cross and the implications of the cross, including overcoming the flesh, overcoming the world, overcoming the evil one, and all those are mini-series in themselves. The death of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ and the implications that follow, including the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I took many years to preach, if I'm not mistaken, I think more than 100 messages directly on this subject. But in fact, any other area that you preach upon that's important for believers flows forth from this, including now this series of messages I'm preaching on the preacher. It has to do with the role of the preacher called by the Lord Jesus to preach Christ, to exalt Christ, and to communicate Christ. So Christ's death, his resurrection, and the implications, then God's plan for man in Christ, including practical outworking in daily life and so on, is never outside of Christ. It's part of your walking in Christ, including husband-wife relationship, parent-child, how you live out your life as salt and light in the world. Every area of life has to do with the implication of your being joined to the risen Christ and how you ought to live your life faithful disciple of Christ, expressing your life as a child of God. What Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Christ lives in me. So every expression of yours, if it's meaningful in this world, is the Lord Jesus having the freedom to work in and through your life. So Christ, his death, and his resurrection, our being joined to the risen Christ, is what the good news is all about. All that God wants to communicate to us. And there's a lot. Whatever you may have seen, whatever you're able to communicate, is only a small fraction. It's only a glimpse of all that God has in store for us. There's a lot. The riches. Paul puts it as the unfathomable riches in Christ. Unfathomable means no limit. You know, when you throw something down, a stone down a very deep well, if it's very, very deep, it takes quite a long time for the stone to reach, but you'll still reach the bottom. But unfathomable means no bottom. You can keep going down. The unfathomable riches of Christ means there's no limit. Because Christ is the Almighty God, infinite. All the riches in Christ. So there's so much waiting for us, first to learn and then to transmit to others. So as I mentioned, God's plan for man in Christ to preach Christ. So the true goal ultimately is to communicate Christ and not just words. That believers may be drawn to a deeper relationship with Christ. And Christ may be exalted in their lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory, walk in Christ. So preach the word. The true preacher is one called by the Lord as his servant, his spokesman, to proclaim authoritatively the truth. God's message to man. You're not preaching your own thing. You're called by God. You're to preach what God has entrusted to you. Then be ready. Readiness at all times. Be ready. Ready means you're alert, you're properly equipped, you're able to fulfill the task well. And also, whatever the circumstances, whatever may confront you, whatever you may have to go through, are you ready? If you look at this carefully, and if we understand what this means, all of us will realize humbly that we really need God's grace, a lot of grace from God to be ready. And there's a lot we need to work at to be truly ready. But we must all be diligent to move in the direction of readiness. Whatever the circumstances, you are ready. Whatever you go through, whatever confronts you, you are still ready to continue faithfully to preach the word. So Paul elaborated, be ready, and then he elaborated, in season and out of season. Meaning, whatever the circumstances, at times favorable, at times unfavorable, at times it can be very difficult. At times when people hear you, they are appreciative. At times when people hear you, they are angry. Whatever it may be, you will faithfully communicate what God desires of you. That is the meaning of being ready in season, out of season. Opposition can come from many sources. It can come from men, it can come from the forces of darkness, and often both. And evil spirits working through men. And these need not be evil men. Even believers, evil one can make use of them and they don't even know. The apostle Peter, who loved the Lord Jesus deeply, Satan was using him. But he didn't even know. And the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Satan, but actually was also addressing Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because Satan was speaking through Peter. That doesn't mean Peter was very evil, but the evil one, Satan, was making use of Peter to deter the Lord Jesus from going to the cross. And Peter wasn't aware. So when the Lord Jesus rebuked Peter in that way, it's to tell Peter, but also he was rebuking Satan, so that Satan cannot continue to exploit and make use of Peter in that way. And actually the evil one is making use of people all the time, including believers. And often we are not conscious. That's why the scriptures tells us we must always adopt this posture. James, submit to God, resist the evil one. That must be our posture. And from time to time, we need to affirm that. We submit to God, we want to hear from God, we want to be obedient to God. But in our heart, we reject all that is of the evil one. When you go through difficulties, trials, and so on, remember to take this posture, take this position. Tell the Lord you love Him, you commit your life to Him, you submit to Him, you reject all that is from the evil one. I was quite unwell during this period. To me, and the others also, I'm glad, who also reminded me. I was very conscious. It can very well have to do with the evil one at work. Remember I mentioned to you about how the evil one will try to hinder? If possible, I can't even come here and preach. So I was conscious. I was praying about it also from this angle. And I'm glad many of you are praying. The congregation I have, the brethren with me back home, they are aware. All of them also have been praying. So now I'm much better. I'm also thankful. Last night I was, although unwell, still able to communicate, and from the feedback I get, it seems it does come through reasonably. Is that so? So I'm very thankful. Although yesterday, actually, I was quite unwell. So the Lord's grace is sufficient for us. He can undertake. So the spiritual opposition can be directed at the preacher in different ways to hinder the preacher, through sickness, through discouragement, make you despair, or you cannot prepare your messages, your life no good, you fall into sin, all kinds of ways. But it can also be directed at the hearers in different forms. So you sit down, you pause for a while, you can list down many different ways the spiritual opposition can come, and they are real. If you are more conscious of it, you pray about it, you can actually see the difference. This is something that all of us can experience for ourselves. The principles in the spiritual realm revealed in the scriptures, if you learn to practice them, you can actually see the manifestation in the visible realm. They are very real. So to be in this state, ready in season, out of season, then you must be equipped and properly trained. And I want to emphasize, this is by the Lord. Subsequent messages, I'll go further into it. It's not just yourself and your effort. Or some people think theological colleges will equip you. I'm not saying theological colleges are no good, but it's not just theological training in itself. God, in the end, must equip you, but you must understand, what does it mean to be equipped by the Lord? If theological colleges are healthy, they have a part. But I won't elaborate on that now. But the main thing I want to talk about is being equipped and trained is by the Lord. You see the disciples, the 12 disciples, and Apostle Paul, and so on, but early church, the disciples, the apostles, when they were preaching, they were brought before the council, and the council, they were marveling at this man. And they regarded this man as untrained people, because they were not trained in the usual way. And then they recognized that this man had been with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus trained them, and they were equipped. They could preach very powerfully. Thousands responded. But it's not just by the numbers, but the impact, the meaning that came forth from their preaching, because they were equipped and also they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. All these are critical. Well, we go on. The need to exhort and reprove. This is part of preaching, which I mentioned yesterday, and now we see here the words of the Apostle Paul. He actually said this: reprove, rebuke, exhort. The word translated exhort, according to lexicon, has a sense of, or rather, a different context, can be translated in different ways. It can include the meaning of request, appeal, urge, implore, entreat, exhort, comfort, cheer up, encourage. And actually, if you look at all these different meanings, all these senses have their place in true preaching. Preaching actually can include all these different aspects. The emphasis at different times can be different. But what I want to emphasize here, that Paul highlights, is that effective preaching goes beyond just presenting the truth. That is very important. Presentation of sound truth. But it goes beyond that. It should include the goal. What is your objective? The goal includes moving people, persuading people, urging people to respond in the direction of God's call. That is an important part of true preaching. You are to exhort, to move, to persuade, to urge, to help people to be faithful to God, to respond well to God and God's call. To help believers know how they ought to live their lives and moving them in that direction. And where appropriate, also to reprove and rebuke. Of course, this last part I'll say a bit slow to do that, unless you're clear God wants you to do it. But there is a place to reprove and rebuke. Paul, even in his epistles, he rebuked the Corinthians, he rebuked the Galatians, oh you foolish Galatians. And it's all recorded for us, we can read it even today. So there is a place for the preacher to reprove, rebuke. But more important is the exhortation, the moving people to live out their lives in the way that God desires, that goes together with the presentation of the truth. So Paul described his own approach to the ministry, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, 11. He first tells us in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then verse 11, he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. So if you put the two together, Paul is trying to tell us, we must appear before the judgment seat. That means we have to give an account to God. And then he goes on to say, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, that means the way we live our lives, there must be the reverence for God, and also with the consciousness that we have to appear before God at the final judgment seat. And he says, with this consciousness, we seek to persuade men. That means we want to persuade men, we want to help men, so that they will be ready to face the Lord on judgment day. Preaching is an important means by which God uses to persuade men, to prepare all of us so that we can give a good account of ourselves at the final judgment. Of course, preaching is not the only means. Counseling, one-to-one sharing, and so on. Fellowship. There are many different ways we help one another to be ready. But preaching is an important means by which we help people to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Then the need for patience. If you're a preacher, you need to develop patience. Some of us find this area more difficult. Actually, just a brief comment on this. When we come into this world, we are not all the same in terms of personality trait. Our genetic makeup is different. From the moment you are born, some of us, we are irritated more easily. Some of us, we are more impatient more easily. But this, we need not be perturbed by it. The true patience that the scriptures talk about is not the natural form. The person who naturally very patient, under provocation, the spiritual dimension, the spiritual realm, the pressure is on, he may not be able to be patient. But the one who has been trained by God, the spiritual patience, you actually can. So what the scriptures talks about when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, remember, is all the ministry of the Spirit and we are responding well, the fruit of the Spirit become formed within us. Our character is a spiritual formation in our hearts and spirit. It's not the natural. So Paul says, with great patience and instruction, this we need God's grace, the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, but we must also diligently look to the Spirit of God to help us. We look to God to help us. So why does Paul say with great patience and instructions? Because the task entrusted to us is not an easy task. There will be many obstacles to overcome. I already mentioned, especially the forces of darkness, but not only that, the weakness of man. Man is very, very weak. All of us come to this world after the fall in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3. We come into this world with the weakness of the flesh. All of us, including believers. none in this room is without the weakness of the flesh. So all of us can falter and fail easily, but by the grace of God, we can overcome. And more we can develop genuine qualities in our heart. But the weakness of the flesh remains during our time on earth. It is never removed, it is never eradicated. But when we walk in Christ, at times it can appear as if the weakness of the flesh is not there. But it's actually all the time there. And any time we are careless, we will falter and fail. That is why we must walk according to the Spirit. We must abide in Christ. We must be humble. We must be prayerful. We must walk in fellowship with God at all times if you want to live an overcoming life. So it's not easy, the task to fulfill and also to be effective in your communication, many obstacles. The other is you want to accomplish this task to transform the hearts and minds of people. We need to realize deep positive changes and transformation in lives of the hearers. It takes time. It is not easy. Even our own lives, not easy. To change for the better. Deep changes. Not easy. And also, not everybody is the same. You look at the four souls. Not everybody will respond well. There are those who are very slow to learn. But if they are slow to learn, but they have good attitude, that's okay. That's okay. Some, he may be a bit slower, but when they learn well, and they go on well. That kind is okay. But there are some who are slow to learn in the sense that they are not very interested. They are indifferent. And some, they'll just keep on failing and failing and failing, in spite of all the encouragement. And there are also those who are not working at it diligently. There are some who are, whatever you say, 1 year in, 1 year out. I hope what I communicate here will be this way with you, 1 year in, 1 year out. But I'm glad that I do receive feedback from some of you who have heard me before, that after you go back, you still look at the notes and you still reflect over. But it's important, if what we hear are important truths, then we mustn't allow it to fade away. When we hear it, we may agree with it. Important, once we see it is biblical truth, absorb it, but then we must pray over, make it become a part of our lives. Then we will never forget it. But if we just hear, even agree with it, it may disappear, it may fade off. Spiritual truth and reality is like that. We must make it a part of our lives and begin to live our lives in that way. That is the meaning of renewal of the mind. Your mindset changes. The trust, the motivation of your heart has changed. And then there are those whom, after many years, they seem to be getting nowhere. You look at the lines, no change. And then not only that, some are even negative, react, quarrelsome, antagonistic. Some may even pass slanderous remarks about you. Of course, if they pass negative remarks about you and it's true, you must humbly accept it, learn from it, repent before the Lord. But it can be, at times, that you have not done anything wrong, you faithfully communicated, but they still pass slanderous remarks. Slanderous actually means not accurate. Negative, but it's not accurate, not justified. So in the face of all these different challenges, the preacher must not lose heart, he must not despair, he must not slacken. He must continue, persevere. But not only persevere by gritting your teeth, I always like to tell people, it's not enough just to struggle in the water, and hopefully maintain your nose above the water. No. The Lord Jesus and the scriptures tells us we have to be more than conquerors. Paul wrote about this. We can be overcoming. So we can live a triumphant life. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. That is possible. So we must not go below the water, drink water and drown. But not only that, we must not just be struggling and keep on drinking water from time to time. We must rise above all these difficulties and go on day by day rejoicing in God. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. These are not just mere words. It can be true. We can experience this. But you must know how to enter into this. I must not digress too much. But there is a way in which we can enter into the joy of the Lord and maintain this joy continuously. And at any time interrupted, we can come back to it. It starts with consecration. Trusting God for what He has provided and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but grounded in what was accomplished at the cross. If we keep coming back to this, we can maintain our joy in the Lord. That's why Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord Jesus, my peace I give to you. We can. So these are important things we need to learn and enter into. But We also need to bear in mind that ultimately it's for us to be faithful to God. We cannot determine the response of the hearers. If we faithfully preach the word, there will be those who are open. There will be those who respond positively to consistent, effective preaching. Not just one message. And you'll see that if you prepare yourself properly, you are really an effective preacher, then the preaching ministry will generally, consistently be good, effective messages. Not once in a long while. And if you preach like that, there will be those who will benefit. There will be those who will grow. And it will bring you much joy. There will be those who will bear good fruit. But the depth of response may vary. In the same congregation, they hear the same messages, some growing very well, some growing well, some growing a little bit, some even going backwards. Response can vary. But if we faithfully labor, then you can rest assured our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. The ministry of life will go forth. Those who are open will benefit. But there is your responsibility to communicate the truth effectively. So, I mentioned in the notes, you will see this, the principle is there. What is important for us to concentrate upon is that we must be steadfast in this posture of being faithful to God. That's what we concentrate upon. No matter what the situation, that's the meaning of being ready in season, out of season, preach the word. No matter what situation, what God wants of us, we will faithfully carry it out. But it is not for us ultimately to shoulder the outcome. The outcome, God, and also those at the receiving end. For our part, concentrate on being faithful to fulfill our part well. So bear in mind, we can only do what we can. We cannot do more than that. So don't despair, don't be miserable if you've already done what you can and still many things are not going on well. Whether it be people responding to your message or any other area of your ministry. Very important. You cannot do more than what you can, but a very important qualification. Not just do what you can by your own strength. It's by the grace of God. If you look to the Lord, you have already learned how to work out your life on the basis of God's enabling, His provision, and you continually work at that. Concentrate on improving yourself and doing what you can by the grace of God. That is your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to ensure the outcome. There will be those who will not respond well, whether you're preaching or any other aspect of a ministry. But there will be those who respond well. But on our part, we must always earnestly seek to fulfill what God entrusts to us to the degree that's feasible for us in our context to the best we can. And I mentioned in our context because sometimes our context is such, we may be miserable, we may despair because we wish we are in a better context. We wish we have more time, we have this, that. Don't worry about that. Where you have a choice, yes, exercise your choice well. But don't worry about those things which is beyond your control. That is under God's sovereignty. You pray to God about it. Your part is to do what you can under the circumstances, but in the context of praying to God about it. And you can be assured, God is sovereign. And if you are faithful, you fulfill His will, that's the best you can do during your time on earth. And that is all that God requires of you. So don't worry and waste your energy over those things that you can't help. But concentrate on doing what you can. So each person has to live his own life well, and finally give an account to God, the preacher and the hearers. But be careful. Don't lament over other people's life, including the hearers, and this person no good, that person no good. But in the end, when we face the Lord, then we are shocked. The light of God shines, and we see there are so many weaknesses and failures, and we have been so careless with our own lives. And yet we've been critical of others, and we always blame others, we blame situation. Never let that happen. If there's one thing I hope to communicate to you through these sessions, I hope this is one important principle. Do your utmost to be faithful to God. Do your part. Seek to learn all that you can to be faithful. And that is all. But don't be critical about this, that at the end we can't give a good answer to God. That'll be very sad. Okay, verses 3 and 4 onwards is actually not pandering to the hearers, just what the hearers want to hear. Paul went on to say, And you notice some of these things are covered in the first message, but here Paul wrote about many of these things actually. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come. A time will come, that is with passing time, yes, we near the second coming, and that this is the beginning of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. If chapter 3, you find Paul telling difficult times will come and many, many problems arise. As we approach the second coming, negative features in hearers will become more common. You will grow. Unhealthy, improper attitudes of hearers. So don't be surprised that these things will take place. They will not endure sound doctrine. Not everybody, but there will be those who are like that, increasingly. And now actually in this world, we find many people like that, including non-believers. We have some idea of what is going on in the world. There are many, many terrible things going on, and many hearts are very hardened, and many are very deceived by the evil one. They will not endure sound doctrine, and this includes believers, or those who profess to believe. They consider themselves believers, they join in the congregation, but they may never even be born again. But there are many who profess to be believers, but they will not appreciate sound preaching and teaching. They may even be antagonistic aroused by sound preaching, as I mentioned just now. So Paul says, one thing to have their ears tickled, they accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And we do see this in the universal church, sad to say. They are believers. They are attracted to those who preach and teach what they like to hear. And in some contexts, they can hire preachers. They employ preachers. And the preachers they choose are those they like to hear. So they will attract this kind of preachers. So their primary concern is not truth or the will of God, what God has to say. They want to hear certain things, so they are attracted to these preachers. And these preachers are very good. And there are various things. Some have asked me, lamented about the gospel, concern about prosperity gospel. I have some awareness of this area even from many years ago. It's affecting millions of Christians or profess to be Christians. I think you have some idea of prosperity gospel. You have? Why is prosperity gospel so attractive? Think about it. Lightly. One aspect has to do with appeals to the flesh. Because the thought of prosperity is not being prosperous in God's kingdom. There's spiritual prosperity. It's good. That's why my book, the latest one, Truly Rich and Great. Truly rich, yes, good. Prosper in God's kingdom, truly rich. You read, you understand what I'm talking about there. It's good. But they are talking about earthly riches. To be rich, prosper. If you're a good Christian. Now that is a very problematic issue. And people can be attracted to these things. I can be a good Christian, I can also worldly prosperity, worldly power, and all these things can go with it. How nice. But that is that what the true gospel is all about? The Lord Jesus says, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. Lay up treasures in heaven, true treasures, but not treasures on earth. Where is your heart? On the things of eternal value? Or on temporal earthly things. So we saw yesterday Ahab. He wanted, and he was very happy when all the false prophets told him those things. And there are people like that. So they turn away their ears from the truth. They'll turn aside to myths. So they are not inclined to hear the truth. They want to hear myths. They reject the truth. They can be attracted to false teaching, to myths. Why? Because all these are very attractive to them. And these are the people who can be easily deceived. And this can be just not just individuals, whole groups can be deceived. And sad to say, throughout church history and our day, our time, our generation, vast numbers are being led astray by false teaching of different sorts that appeal to the flesh. But sometimes it's just deception, wrong doctrines. Even sometimes thinking they're being very spiritual, but actually wrong doctrine that leads many, many, many astray. We must be very careful, the preacher, to stay in the truth. But for those who want to hear false doctrines and so on, we must not go along with them. So beware for our own selves also. What are we attracted to? What we like to hear, what we enjoy hearing, may not be good for us. This also you can communicate to your hearers. Not just what we like to hear, what we enjoy hearing, but what is the truth? What does God want to communicate? And learn to enjoy the truth. Learn to enjoy what God wants to say to us. There is such a thing. But there is spiritual enjoyment. When we preach about true discipleship, the cost of discipleship, pain, suffering, is there enjoyment in the normal sense? No. But if your hearts are healthy, you can actually enjoy listening to such messages, can't we? We can, but there's spiritual enjoyment. Because it brings us into fellowship with God. Paul talks about the fellowship of Christ's suffering. But that's not to say that you enjoy suffering. If you enjoy suffering, there's something wrong with you. So don't learn to enjoy suffering. People whack you, say, I enjoy it. Something wrong. Don't. But if you're faithful to God, people whack you, be prepared to endure it. Yes. But learn to be thankful that you can have the privilege of suffering for the sake of Christ. If you suffer pain because you are faithful, keep on rejoicing. But not rejoicing because you're being beaten. Not because of the pain, you enjoy the pain. But you thank God that He has sustained you and you can suffer pain, difficulties, agonizing times for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the truth, for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of the welfare of the people that you're ministering to. That is meaningful. So there is a proper place for true spiritual enjoyment. And it is the joy of the Lord in fellowship with God. So what is important all the time is truth. What God wants to communicate to us, and that's also what we want to communicate to the people. Whether we enjoy it or not, it does not determine whether it's good for us. That is an important principle to bear in mind. So if our attitude is correct, we will keep longing for what God wants to say to us, deeply appreciate whatever we hear from the Lord, and also then seek to faithfully communicate this truth. So to be a faithful preacher, Timothy must not just pander to what the hearers want to hear, he must faithfully communicate what God wants to communicate. So then, be sober, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. That's what Paul wrote in verse 5, to sum it up. But you, in contrast to all these people who want to hear this and that, he says, you be sober in all things, all the time. Endure hardship. In the midst of faithfulness, be prepared to endure hardship. Do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Timothy also had the role of evangelist, but not all preachers are evangelists. Although all of us, after the salt and light of the world, all of us can share and communicate the gospel. But not all are evangelists. They are gifted in evangelism. But Timothy was a preacher, he was also an evangelist. But not all preachers are evangelists. But all, as I said, can preach the gospel, can communicate the gospel. So the true preacher must look to the Lord to help him to maintain a sober spirit at all times so he can fare well in all situations, prepared to persevere in the midst of trials, hardship, so that he can faithfully fulfill the ministry. That is what we must work towards. In the next message, I'll go into more of these areas. But now I have some brief comments on preaching in a longer term. And many of you, I think, are preaching in congregations. I would like to have a little bit more feedback from you, but because of time, I cannot keep asking you. But I'm sure many of you preach in congregations, am I right? So you preach not just one message, you preach many messages, and that is good. But that is provided you have substance to communicate. If you don't have, you preach one, two messages, finish already. Then you keep repeating the same thing. Now, that is no good. But if you've been learning from the Lord, there's a lot to communicate. Then preaching in the same congregation, you can cover a lot of ground. It can be very effective. But that is where, if you are preaching in the same congregation over a long period of time, two points you need to bear in mind, and then later I'm going to mention the different kinds of messages. Not all messages are the same. But you must, the goal must be, you want to help the believers to understand the truth, to gain insight into the truth, and as much as possible that's revealed in the scriptures, and then you, together with it, you're motivating them to respond positively to the truth. You preach in such a way that they absorb the truth, they'll work it out. But for you to be really effective as a preacher in a congregation, you keep preaching the same congregation, you want to cover wholesome ground, you want to cover more exhaustively so that it will help in the total development of the brethren. But first, you must learn these things from the Lord yourself first. So that's important. But then you will want to communicate in a way that the believers can learn well for the total development of every aspect of our life, to the degree that you can. So there are different kinds of messages with different emphases. So for example, one kind is the messages that edify. That is when you preach, it provides spiritual nourishment, spiritual encouragement, spiritual refreshment. Now these are the kind of messages usually believers know how to appreciate. They listen, they feel edified and so on, but not only feel, they actually are spiritually edified, encouraged. And that is good. There's another kind of messages where the main thrust is to seek to deepen the faith, the commitment of believers, to urge them in the direction. And believers need to make a deep commitment to God and then work on from there. So from time to time, messages that this trust is important to draw a deeper response, a deeper commitment. Then there are messages that tend to emphasize more on personal application. Their personal lives, so the messages will search out their hearts, the deficiencies within them, the impurities that they need to deal with, wrong attitudes within their heart, conduct that is not good, then how they should work at relationship with people, how to go through various situations. So there are messages that deal with many of these things, and they are all relevant, all important. Then another kind of message, the emphasis is on more on laying down doctrinal foundation. And these are important. You'll find that Paul's epistles, especially the first section, but in Paul's epistles, there's a lot on doctrinal aspects. And that is actually very important. But this is an area that often hearers have difficulty. But for that matter, even preachers. But you need to have a good grasp of the doctrines, wholesome, and then seek to communicate in a way that hearers can understand. But when you're preaching on these messages, don't be deterred just because hearers have difficulty. You have to tell them they need to concentrate, they need to seek to grapple, grasp them, because it's on the basis of doctrines that you live out your lives. You don't start with the practical. The foundational doctrines are very, very important. From there, all the various practical issues will flow forth. But believers have a lot of difficulty in this area. But you first must have a good grasp. Then you learn how to communicate in a way that they can understand. That is your role. But in one message, it's actually possible for all these different kinds, different emphases, these different aspects to be found in one message. It's actually possible. It spiritually nourishes, there's also a doctrine aspects, it helps them in the practical living, and so on, and also seeks a deeper response. I think these five messages I'm calling to you does have these various elements. But there can be different emphases in different messages. That is all right. But also bear in mind, the hearers, some are more appreciative one kind, some more appreciative another kind, so that you won't be taken by surprise. It is like that. But there's a place for all this. And we should faithfully seek to communicate what God desires of us. And on our part, learn to benefit from different kinds of messages. I think it's a bit late. Should I end here, or do you want me to go on another 5 minutes? It's okay, yeah? 5 minutes, okay? Can, huh? I did ask Sir Rosalie, because in my context, I don't have a fixed time. So as I preach, so here it's a bit difficult. So, okay, I try to go fast. I try to take another 5 minutes. Huh? So three concluding observations. And the first one is that sometimes you hear a message, it may seem effective, the hearer says, oh, it's effective, it's good. But actually, it is more directed at the mind, at the emotion. So the mind grasps certain things, the emotion feels it, so they think it is good. But actually, it doesn't really change the heart and doesn't really renew the mind of the hearer. So it cannot stand the test of trials, stand the test of time. It'll just all fade off. And it doesn't really change the people in their walk with God. So these are actually not good messages. But they may appear good. Some even stir up the people emotionally very strong. But it's just emotional. It's not at a deeper level. But the true, effective preaching, it must be reliance upon God. God enables. And it must aim at the response of the heart. So if my messages that I preach here, it doesn't reach your heart and renew your mind, I have failed. Or you have failed to receive properly. So it must aim at the response of the heart, and it must involve your will. So it will affect the direction of your life. It must result in a deeper conviction, true perception of truth. That's why communion of truth is very important, and then the conviction must be grounded in the truth. And it is truth, conviction that arises from the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we come together in this way, we must pray. The Spirit of God will reveal the truth, convict our hearts, and then you result in a deeper response to God and the truth in the moral and spiritual realm. Not the emotional, not just the mental. Yes, it involves the mental, but it's a different kind of mental. The spiritual mental, the renewal of the mind. So there's a moral response. It involves the realm of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work in our spirit. So Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it's a very meaningful verse. Those of you who are good men of faith, yes, I emphasize also on this verse. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit in faith in the truth. All along, this is in God's intention, that we enter into the salvation intended for us. Salvation is a full salvation in Christ. It's sanctification by the Spirit, faith in the truth. So truth, very important, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is critical. So messages should help believers understand how to work out their lives and make good progress. And all this is possible only in the realm of the Spirit, our spirit responding well to the Spirit of God, grounded in the word of Christ, the truth revealed in the Scriptures. Then leads me to the next point. Second point, important aspect of effective preaching over extended period of time is effective communication, not only of truth, but I emphasize here is substantial truth and insight. This must be your goal. Again, you need to have substance. You must be well grounded in the truth, which I'll come to the next message. So it shouldn't be just superficial coverage. Superficial coverage can include those that appear very profound, but hardly anything in spiritual reality. People here say, good, good, good. I really enjoy your message, but you hardly cover anything of real value in God's kingdom. So it must have substance, it must have depth, on the basis of which then true convictions can grow. Believers can really build their lives, deepen their walk with God. So as Ephesians 4 basically is a very important chapter on church life and how the body is being built up in love and how actually preachers and so on, later I'll come to this, although I cannot spend much time on it, very important. God gives gifts of preachers and so on, teachers, to build up believers so that they are no longer like children tossed here and there by waves and winds of doctrine, but we are all to grow up unto maturity in Christ. So that's the role of the preacher. That believers are no longer unstable, but strong, stable, mature. That is the goal. Every believer, that is our goal. But there will be those who do not respond well, can't be helped if we've already done our part. But all those who love the Lord, who wants to be helped, must be helped. That is the goal of true preaching. So effective preaching, you must aim at generating conviction, which means it must be preached with conviction in the power of God. As I mentioned, you preach, there's no real conviction in the hearts of the hearers, it's no use, no value. But for it to bring about conviction, then you must preach with conviction. By conviction, I don't mean you raise your voice, you shout, and so on. That is not the meaning of generating conviction. Conviction comes about when you learn to communicate, and it communicates the truth, and the Holy Spirit has worked, it generates conviction. But for that to take place, you must preach with conviction in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be at work in your life, and you must have the conviction. You preach about commitment to God, love for God, but in your heart, all these are very lacking. You think you can preach with power? No. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-5. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul, how he went about preaching. Why was his preaching so effective? He says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Exactly what we are saying. And here, notice, Paul is not just telling them something. He is testifying. That is Paul's testimony. And later on, as I go on, you'll see, and I hope that's how you read the epistles of Paul. Paul has many things to speak to us through his epistles, are very important, very meaningful to us, but actually a lot of it is not so much teaching directed at us. It is actually he testifies about his life, and this is part of it. He's telling us how he goes about in his ministry, and from there, we learn. And it's very effective. Because when we read, and Paul could communicate in this way because it's real in his own life. He says, our gospel did not come to you, and as I mentioned to you, gospel is not just how you can be converted. The gospel is the good news of all that God intends for us in Christ. And he says, did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction. So subsequently, I will go on to talk about how the preacher can be prepared, ready for good, effective messages, so that we can preach with conviction, communicate effectively, and the hearers can be truly blessed. Amen. Not because we are great, but because we have a great God. And God will equip you. Our confidence must be in God. But we must be prepared to be diligent, to cooperate with God, to do our part. If God has the freedom to work in us and through us, you can be assured God will bring it about. So don't look at the task before you and say, how can I can't. In one sense, it's good to say that because you can't, I can't. But don't stop there, I can't and full stop, and then become miserable. I can't is in myself, but I can by the grace of God. God will bring it about in me and through me. We can have that confidence. Even if he calls you, he will equip you, but you must be prepared to pay the price, which I'll go on the next messages.